Central Road. Our second scripture takes us to the Epistle of James. James is a book that we probably don't spend enough time in, but probably should. James' message is rather direct and blunt, but it's also a message that I think is worth our time to hear and to read and to contemplate on. And so our scripture today takes us to James chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 12. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it. So you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the Scripture says, God yearns jealously for the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? This is the word of God to us this morning.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for gathering us and welcoming us to this place. We thank you that we can be here to worship and give you our praise. God, we thank you for this journey that we have taken called Explore God. We thank you for the ways that it has challenged us, the ways that it has taught us more about who you are. And we pray, God, that now the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Well, it's like we always said, like my relationship with God is, it's not private, but it is certainly personal.
I don't see him as being human, so you can't have a human relationship with him.
Naniniwala ako na tayo ay magkakamayroong personal na relationship sa Diyos dahil sa Scripture at sa pagmamahal natin sa anak niyang si Jesus.
There are people who believe that what shirt I put on this morning, that God cared what shirt I put on. That's nonsense.
I do think God is so big and so vast that we'll never get to know him exhaustively.
I felt like I heard a voice from heaven speak to my situation and tell me that everything's going to be okay. And I've lived a blessed life since then, since turning my life to God.
You have to experience it for yourself. I think it's something hard to describe unless you're actually willing to go there.
Well, we're here. Week 7 of Explore God. For the last 6 weeks, we've been discussing some very tough questions. Questions that challenged what we thought we knew about God, about Jesus, about religion, about suffering, about ourselves, and even about the world. They were also questions that spoke, I think, to very real life experiences that we all have had. That was the real beauty, I think, of Explore God. And today we come to our final question, another real life question for us. Can I know God personally? Now, I think this is a good question to end this series on. I think if you were to sort of track the movement of this series, it would probably lead you to about this question. And yet, I have to admit that I think this is the hardest question that we've had. Because the idea that we can know God, The idea that God is knowable is something that's a little strange and hard to figure out. We don't tend to think of God as knowable. We tend to think of God as someone that we know a lot of stuff about. The difference being, to know about someone or something is to have knowledge of them or of it. So, like, I have a fair amount of knowledge when it comes to, you know, space and the universe, but I've never blasted off in a rocket into outer space. I've never done I've never been in a zero-G environment. I've never done a spacewalk. I've never come close to another planet or a star or an asteroid or something like that. So to know someone or something is to have experienced it. Like, I know my wife and daughter because I interact with them every day. I talk to them, I listen to them, I hug them. I can differentiate them in a crowd without too much trouble. God, though, is a little harder to differentiate and a little harder to understand. After all, how can you know someone that you can't hear or see or smell or taste or touch? It just doesn't seem to make sense. Which is why I ask you again, can we know God personally? Now, fortunately, like all of these questions, we're not the first ones to have wrestled with whether or not God is knowable. Take the Laodiceans, the Laodicean church specifically. For the Laodiceans, it was their complacency toward this question, can I know God personally, that led to the angel of the Lord coming to them and saying, listen. You see, Laodicea was one of seven churches mentioned in John's Revelation that were all located in Asia Minor, which is we consider today Turkey. And they each had their own sort of unique problem. For Laodicea, it was the fact that they had become lukewarm. They were, in essence, indifferent towards God. They were neither on fire for God, nor had they really turned a cold shoulder to God. Instead, they had come to rely on, they'd become a product of their culture, their society. Laodicea was a very wealthy community, and they'd gotten a lot of their wealth and experienced a lot of their prosperity because of different industries that were present there, like banking and clothing. Laodicea was known for very luxurious clothing. They also had a medical school there that apparently discovered or produced this eye salve that had very good healing properties. Regardless, Laodicea came to feel that their wealth, their prosperity was enough to keep them safe and secure. So you could say the only problem that Laodicea really had was that they didn't have any problems. Because when you start to think there's nothing wrong with your life, or you start to think there's nothing to worry about, you tend to become complacent in your life. You tend to become lukewarm in your life. Now, Craig Koester, who is a professor at Luther College, has a great image for us to consider as we think about Laodicea and their situation. In Greek and Roman culture, there was this custom where when a guest came to your house, you would offer them a glass of wine. And the wine was either hot or cold, depending on the temperature outside. The idea is that when you offered someone a glass of wine that was at a different temperature than it was outside, that glass of wine was going to be refreshing. So in our culture today, that would be like on a really hot day, when a guest comes over to your house, you offering them a nice ice-cold glass of lemonade or iced tea. Or on a really cold day, offering them a hot cup of hot chocolate or coffee. The point being, and the idea is, again, to differentiate that the temperature of the drink contrasts with the temperature outside. So if the wine was more or less the same temperature as it was outside, it wasn't refreshing. And it was, in fact, insulting to your guests, marking you as a poor host. So Laodicea, again, the Laodicean church specifically, in their complacency, had become poor hosts. You know, they went through the motions. They went to church, they celebrated communion, But then they go home and they live their lives exactly as they always have. There was nothing in their works that differentiated the Laodicean church from the larger community. There was nothing in their work that demonstrated that they knew God at all. And so it's possible that there were those in Laodicea, the church and the community both, that were asking this exact same question. Can I know God personally? And that's why God says to the Laodiceans and to us, if we're being honest, listen. Because we have a choice to make. The Epistle of James, and as I mentioned earlier, James tends to be pretty hardcore in his message. But I think James' message is very solid, one that we need to hear. Because he makes it clear that we have to choose between being friends with the world and being friends with God. The difference being the desire to know the world versus the desire to know God. To know the world is to put our own interests and desires ahead of God's, thinking that they can bring us security. And thereby we reject God's claim to our life. The result being a lukewarm, or becoming lukewarm like the Laodiceans. To know God, though, that's to acknowledge that God has claimed our lives and that God's interests and desires for humanity supersede our own. In other words, to know God is to distinguish and separate ourselves from the world. The fact is, whether we choose to know the world or we choose to know God, we cannot choose both. They are incompatible and even mutually exclusive of each other. To choose both is like being a fence sitter, like Humpty Dumpty, just waiting to fall one way or the other. See, that's why we have to stop and listen, because whether we like it or not, folks, we have to choose. And if we stop and listen, then we might just hear God knocking at our door. And if we hear God knocking at our door, who's going to be foolish enough not to answer? And when we open that door, God's not just going to stand there waiting for us to invite him inside. God didn't come to just wait at the door. God came because he wanted to come in and be part of our lives. He wanted to come in, as Revelation says, and eat with us, share a meal with us. And that's because when we share a meal, we listen, we ask questions, we commune, and we come to know one another. There's no pretense, no lukewarmness, no fence sitting around that table. Because around that table, we are invited to open our lives to God and to one another. And it's then that we experience the type of riches and prosperity that the world can never offer. It's then that we experience the type of security that the world can never offer, because we come to know the full life of God. The kind of life that was made possible because God also made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. Now the Laodiceans, like so many of us today, they knew all about God. But they didn't know God. And the irony of their situation is that when Revelation talks about God coming in and wanting to eat with them, share a meal with them, it was probably talking about communion, which suggests that when the Laodiceans would celebrate, they would gather around the table, they would celebrate communion, that God would be on the outside looking in. It's like having a party, right, and forgetting to invite the guest of honor. And even if they had let God in, we could assume that they wouldn't have served him ice cold lemonade or a steaming cup of hot chocolate. We can assume that they probably would have served him tepid, disgusting, and undrinkable water. Not only that, but if this was the kind of hospitality that they showed God, imagine the kind of hospitality that they were showing the city of Laodicea. You see, when the angel accused the Laodicean church of being lukewarm, the angel didn't call them out personally. The angel pointed to their works. It was their works that had become lukewarm. Of course, if you're reading between the lines, you know what the angel's really saying is, Your works have become lukewarm because you have become lukewarm. And yet, as the old hymn says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. That's right. The point is, the most powerful way others come to know God is through those of us who know God already. Now, there's a great quote by the author and former priest, Brennan Manning. And I first heard this quote about 20, 25 years ago, and I've never forgotten it. It's one of those quotes that just really stuck with me. And it goes like this. It says, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." Think about that. It is through the church that others come, that others either come to know or they come to reject God. No pressure, right? But the fact is, folks, we need to hear that quote, because we see so many churches struggling today. I served on the Commission on Ministry for Presbyterian. We saw so many churches closing. We still are. And a lot of it comes right back to what happened in the Laodicean church, to what Manning is saying. That we do a great job of acknowledging God with our lips, but not with our lifestyle. We do a great job of knowing all about God, but we don't necessarily know God. And an unbelieving world, they come to know God through the church's response to, for example, that homeless person that comes to our doors, to the crying child that is at our knees. They come to know God through the church's response to the hungry person on the corner, or the person who recently immigrated to our community looking for acceptance. They come to know God through the person who is being oppressed by unjust systems. Or they come to know God just simply by the way that we love and care for them. Simply the way that we are towards them. Which means then we have to stop. We have to listen, and we have to consider how we come to know God better. For example, we come to know God better every time we stop and we listen to that little voice inside of us telling us right from wrong. We come to know God better every time we stop and we look up at the stars in awe. We come to know God better every time we enjoy God's creation, every time we enjoy the trees, the rivers, the lakes, the mountains, the oceans, all of God's creation. We come to know God better every time we gather in community, whether it's here in worship or like some of you have done with Explore God in the discussion groups. We come to know God better every time we respond to someone in need with love and with mercy. We come to know God better every time we open our Bibles, or we sing our hymns, or we worship together. We say the liturgy together. The point is, or perhaps a better way to say it, the bottom line is, to know God, you have to experience God yourself. And there are infinite ways to do so. We have a couple of ways coming up here at Southminster that we hope you can come to know God deeper. For one, next week, you'll have an opportunity to share your Explore God stories, to share how you've come to know God better through your Explore God journey. And then the following week after that, which is the first Sunday of Lent, we're going to be starting our Lenten sermon series where we will be exploring the images of God found in Scripture. Regardless, the good news is that you have a lifetime to experience and to come to know God personally. In fact, that's probably how long it takes. You're not going to go home today and say, "All right, God, I want to know you," and then within an hour know everything you need to know. If you do, come tell me. I want to know what your trick was. All that's left, and this is the point, is like what the woman said at the end of the video. Because God is known, we have to decide, are we willing to go there? Are we willing to go there? Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for making yourself known to us in so many different ways. God, we pray as a congregation, collectively and individually, that we can come to know you better each and every day of our lives. God, we pray that we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear your presence wherever we may be. God, we pray that as we come to know you better, that the fruit of our lives, the work, the labor of our lives can reflect that knowledge, that we can show the world, God, who you are. God, we thank you for this series, Explore God. We thank you for the way it has challenged us, the way it's invited us to view our faith from different perspectives, the way that it has invited us to come to know you more personally. And God, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for every person who's here, for their faith. And God, we pray that all of us can come to know you deeply and intimately. God, we thank you, and we offer this prayer to you in your name. Amen.